This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We're about to get to the rubber meets the road part of the new educational standards known as Common Core. Policies have been debated, syllabi have been built, and now comes the testing. Schools around the country are gearing up for their first rounds of Common Core exams. And those tests are, as you know, controversial. The disagreements may be largely political, but testing like this is big business. From the education desk at WIPR, Marketplace's Amy Scott has the story.
Think standardized test. Maybe you picture kids sitting at their desks filling in bubbles with number two pencils. A Scantron machine cranking out scores. Time to update that picture to look more like this. Kids at computers dragging and dropping answers on screens, using online highlighters and calculators, and watching videos like this TED Talk about building electrical circuits with Play-Doh.
Circuits that the most creative, tiny little hands can build on their own.
That clip is from a sample Common Core test for 7th graders. Students are asked to read two articles, watch the video, and then write an essay supporting their response with evidence from each source. Yeah, no bubbles in sight.
Whether it's the English test or the math test, there's a great emphasis on constructing responses to questions.
Jeff Nellhaus is chief of assessment for PARC. That stands for the Partnership for Assessment of Readiness for College and Careers. Let's stick with the acronym. It's one of two groups of states that shared $360 million in federal grants to create tests aligned with the Common Core standards. The standards focus on critical thinking, problem solving, and analytical skills. Nellhaus says the old measures won't do.
If you think about life, you have problems. You don't get multiple choice answers to them. You have to construct your own answers from your own knowledge and drawing on other sources to get information. That's what this test focuses on primarily.
And that's expensive. Scott Marion is associate director of the Center for Assessment. It helps states develop better tests. Marion says each question has to be written, then reviewed for things like bias and age appropriateness, and field tested. Then it may be revised or even thrown out. When you add up 9 grade levels, all with different tests in math and English, we're talking thousands and thousands of questions. Marion estimates a single multiple-choice question costs roughly $1,000 to develop.
When you get into more open-ended questions, you get into $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 per question.
That's because it's harder to write questions that demonstrate different levels of ability. They also have to be changed out every year or so, and those are just development costs. Then there's scoring.
Scoring open response questions generally requires human beings to read the papers and then assign scores.
Humans who need to be trained and monitored to make sure they're scoring fairly. PARC has tried to keep costs down. A feature on the math test lets students type in equations that can be scored by machine, and there will still be multiple choice. Nellhaus says PARC is also testing technology to score essays by computer.
We'll always have humans doing a check on the machines, but we're optimistic that we'll be able to incorporate this into the program within a few years.
The savings won't come soon enough for states like Georgia, which pulled out when PARC estimated its tests would cost about 3 times what the state had been spending. PARC's price has since come down to about $24 per student. That's less than what many states spend, but much more than others. And for some, not enough.
I think we're spending actually too little on testing. If we're talking about $30 a kid to round up, that's less than the cost of a textbook.
Matthew Chingos is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. A few years ago, he did a rough estimate of what states spend every year on K-12 assessment. He came up with about $1.7 billion out of more than $600 billion in total spending on public education.
So we're really talking about a small amount of money, especially in comparison to the importance that's attached to the results of these tests and the uses to which people want to put them, which is to hold teachers accountable, to improve schools, to hold schools accountable.
There's another reason tests are so important. They don't just measure what kids learn. We've all heard the phrase, teaching to the test. PARC's Jeff Nellhaus says tests send a signal to teachers and principals.
What the test measures and how it measures it is going to have an impact on what they teach and how they teach it. So it's really incumbent on the test to be great.
A great test? It's hard to imagine students will see it that way when they get a load of the real thing in the next few months. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.